Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding edge successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's rockstar achiever.
Welcome to the show. We are greatly honored to have with us today Sherry Zins Calvert, a U.S. Army veteran. She is also a married mother of four and the co-founder and president of Kairetsu Forum Northwest. Kairetsu is based in Seattle, Washington, and is part of the largest global private equity investment network. Kairetsu Forum Northwest represents seven of the 39 international chapters with over 350 members of the 1,500. In 2014, Kairetsu Forum Northwest facilitated over $32.2 million of early-stage investment for 37 companies. Sherry is an active member of her community and remains an advocate for veterans. An accomplished engineer and salesperson, Sherry's professional experience began at the age of 17 when she enlisted in the U.S. Army and served as a communications specialist in the Army, where she held a top secret clearance position. She continued her career in engineering after the military with positions at Space Labs, Medical, Zetron, Honeywell, Boeing, Selectron, and Qualitel. Between 2003 and 2019, Sherry acted as the Washington Council Director of Membership Development for the American Electronics Association, where she was consistently in the top three for national sales and retention. She went on to be Membership Development Manager for WTIA before joining Kairetsu Forum Northwest. Sherry maintains her interest in engineering as a board member for Washington's First Robotics Board, where she has been a regional judge for the first robotics competition. She gives back through charitable organizations, including the Yaletown House Foundation and the Alzheimer's Association. In 2015, she participated in Celebrity Waiters to raise money for the Millionaire Club charity, a Seattle-based nonprofit aimed at helping those in need achieve permanent jobs, stable housing, and necessary support. And she also is involved in many other charitable organizations where she serves as various committee members, and we are very honored to have such a wonderful individual with us today. Thank you, Sherry, for taking this time to be with us, and I would like to know a little bit about how you came up with this name, Kairetsu. That sounds like a Japanese name. Is that correct?
It is, and hello, Catherine, and thank you for having me on your show. Yes, Kairetsu actually came from our founder, Randy Williams, who's down in the Bay Area. His partners were Japanese, and Kairetsu means a group or gathering of like-minded individuals that help each other grow. So Kairetsu Forum is a group of angel investors that help each other succeed and grow. So it's a network of people that band together for a common good. That's where the term came from.
Okay, that's beautiful. I love that meaning. And very fitting, for sure.
Yes, yes.
Now, how did you come about getting involved with Kairetsu?
Well, as the number one salesperson for the American Electronics Association, my job was to speak with all the high-tech CEOs in the region and find out about their issues, whether it be H-1B visas or, you know, education, whatever they were passionate about and wanted us to lobby on their behalf. So because I had the ear of all the CEOs, when Kairetsu was forming here in the Northwest, they asked me to help them bring on members. So I obviously took the job, loved working with them as a volunteer. I brought on over a third of their membership in the first few months while I was volunteering for them.
Wow, that's really impressive. What do you like most about what you're doing? What are you most passionate about?
Well, what I'm doing with Kairetsu, what I like, is that I help entrepreneurs succeed and I help investors make good investment decisions. So we kind of have the the whole range from entrepreneur, startup. We help them. We point them in the right direction. We have committees that try to help these guys and girls get started. If we're not right for them, we'll point them to the right people. We coach them for many years sometimes until they're ready to actually make their pitch for the A round. And once they make their pitch, then we help them get funding, and we help our investors pick the best sound deals. So we have 78% of the companies that come through our doors get funded. That's unheard of. Last year, which I didn't put in my bio, we funded globally $79 million, and Caritzi Forum Northwest Region did $49 million of that. So out of 36 chapters worldwide, we did more than half the revenue.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible.
I'm pretty happy to get, you know, companies started. It's fascinating to learn about all these new startups and technologies and just be there to help them and get them started and say I was there when that started. It's kind of fun.
What do you think creates such a great success so that you are able to help so many people? And like you said, that is unheard of.
It is. I think it's our team. Being ex-military, being an engineer, I run on metrics. And a lot of the other chapter presidents are successful business people themselves, but they're not soldiers. So I think that being a soldier, just running lean and mean, spending the resources where needed to provide the right amount of support for the companies. So, for example, we look at four new companies a month. So we look at 48 new deals a year, and you know that we actually fund, that we try to fund, and I have a staff member for each section of the process, so I pay out quite a bit. More than half of our income is paid to salary just so that we have the best staff, the best team possible, and I have an amazing team of young master degree students that have come out of the master's program and are then they volunteer for me for usually up to a year, and then they get hired. So just a stellar team and just a really solid process.
Mm-hmm. And as you have started with this company and you've grown your success, would you say that you had run up against any roadblocks during that time?
The demographic for angel investors is 55-year-old white males. Yes. It is very difficult to be diverse. And, you know, it's really hard to break into finance, especially with an engineering degree and, you know, my background. For them to trust that I could do the finance and do the deals and bring them the best quality deal flow that I could bring, took quite a bit of time to convince them. But year over year since I took over the company, we have been the top performing chapters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with that. That we're number one every year that we've been in business since I took over in 2010, and my business partner.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say that you overcame those roadblocks and you were able to create that trust and respect?
Performance. So again, metrics, just performing, being able to actually point the finger and say, here's how much we funded, here's how many companies we funded, here's the metrics, you know, for what we do. Just being very public about what we're doing and just earning their trust year over year that we can, it wasn't just a flash in the pan. So we stayed under the radar for the first couple of years and we just built the company up because it was kind of in a hole when I took it over. We had, you know, very few members left. We had a bad reputation in town. And my business partner and I decided that we could fix this because it was the right thing to do. And when we took it over, we just sat down and we said, look, we're just going to perform. We're going to honor all contracts. We're going to perform. And once we perform for at least 3 years in a row to be stable, we're going to come out with guns. So we did. We've now come out and we announced that we do press releases announcing our success, announcing how successful and providing the numbers to anyone who's willing to look at them, just so that we can stand behind what we do.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things I heard in there was openness. You said being open and having a plan.
Yeah, that helps. having a mission.
Having a mission, absolutely.
And yeah.
As you work with people and you're helping business startups and you're providing funding for these businesses, what do you see as the most common roadblocks that your clients or members come up against?
Well, usually they're just not prepared or they haven't researched the market or they don't have the sales pipeline, you know, queued up. So we look at companies that have been in business for at least a year. They have a product or service that's complete, they're looking for money to grow their business to that next level. So we're not looking at startups. We do help them earlier through some committees I can talk about later. But at our stage, when they come to the forum, they have to meet those criteria. And that's why we have such a high success rate, 75%, because one out of the four usually will fail. It's due to many, many things. It could be that the team is set up incorrectly. They don't have the right sales team. They don't have the right marketing plan. They don't have the right, vision. There's many, many reasons that they can fail. I think it's 7 out of 10 startups fail, and that's a huge statistic. Only 7% of our investments account for 75% of our returns. So that this is a lot. It's just that, companies, there's other people, other competitors who come out faster, stronger, better. There's many, many reasons for startups to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do 100 hours, 40 to 100 hours of due diligence on each of these companies that come through. We work with them. We coach them. We help them all along the way. So by the time they get to the forum, they're ready. And the only reason that they're not successful is going to be either they found money somewhere else that was easier to get, or the company imploded, or they found out that what they're working on just through the due diligence process wasn't viable at this time. And so they go back, they reconfigure, and they come back a couple of years later. We've had a very successful company called Tilted Motorworks that we've been working with for 5 years. The first year they came through, they weren't ready. We told them they weren't ready. We told them why. They went and fixed it. They came back a couple of years later. They pitched. They were hugely successful, and they're doing great now. So it just takes, it's us being able to tell them what's wrong and guide them, and for them to be able to be coachable is what we call it. Are they coachable? Will they listen? And will they pivot? Because this is what we do for a living, and we know what will be successful. Not necessarily what's going to make it, but we know the roadblocks that will stop them from making it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I hear is that when somebody comes to you for some assistance, you do your due diligence to make sure that they're in the right place, that they have a proper plan, and then you spend a lot of time coaching them. And when they're not ready, so it sounds like basically you give them the tools or the guidance to basically let them go off on their own and take care of what they need to do, and then they later can come back when they're better prepared, and then you then can help them out. Is that correct?
Yes, but we don't do a deep dive into the due diligence until they've made it into the forum. So we will coach them on the side. We have what we call committees. So I have 10 committees. I have the space committee, a life science committee, hardware, different committees that will coach them as a committee, as a sector group, before they're ready for Coritzu. But once they come to Coritzu is when we do the deep dive. That's so that my investors know what they're investing in. So we don't charge them a penny until they come to the actual forum. So all the coaching for the years before doesn't cost them anything. That's us building the pipeline for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of just help and guidance and helping these companies. Then they do pay to come to the forum and pitch. But again, we have 75% of those get funded. That's the key, is that we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty amazing that you do that and that you provide such a great service.
Thanks.
So you said that you work with people that have been in business for at least a year and they have certain criteria that they meet. So if you've got businesses that are coming to you that have been in business for less than a year, is that where you would put them in together with a committee and give them coaching? Or
Absolutely.
Do they need to...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, we'll put them into a committee for coaching, which doesn't cost them anything, or we'll pass them on to another angel group that works with earlier stage companies. So a lot of angel groups like to work with the seed stage, is what they call it. Seed stage is anything under $500,000. So if they're just a startup, they go to their friends and family, they raise the money they can raise, that's the seed stage company. And we're dealing with A-round companies, which is still startups, but they've got some traction. They have a product, like I said, that's already built. They have some customers that want what they have. It's not just if we build it, they will come. And they go on from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good process.
It.
I think process, we've actually written books about our process. We share our due diligence process with all the other angel groups. We have a very open policy, like I said, because I want everyone to be successful, and the more companies are funded, just better for the economy and everyone in general. So I allow all the other Angel Group leaders to come to my forum and actually take deal flow, and people are very surprised about that. But they come, they watch my pitches, and if they want to take them at their groups, I'm very happy for them, and I allow them to do that, which surprises a lot of different groups that are private.
Okay, I see. So a lot of people that are going, that are listening to this show are individuals that are in the startup phase. Some of them have been more established. Some of them are newer. And my goal in providing this podcast is to help them to not give up, because it's so easy to, especially in the early stages of your business, to give up when things start, well, when things just don't go right or things don't go the way that you think they should. And there's all kinds of roadblocks that we all face in that phase. And so I just wanted to ask you, what kind of advice might you have for these people?
Honestly, get in front of angel groups early. Get in front of us. You can come and pitch to my company or to any other angel group at what we call a deal screening. Now, that's before we actually put you in front of the main group of investors. But go out there and get your deal screened. Don't be so paranoid about, oh, my God, it's this top secret, super secret sauce, and we're going to give it away. We don't ask that detail of question. We're looking, do you have marketing? Do you have, you know, investors? Do you is it unique? Is it a cool idea? Do you have any kind of IP or IP protection? You know, there's things we're looking for, but we're not looking for your deep secrets. We're looking for the overall, do we believe it's viable? Do we believe in the team? And do we think that you can get there? So the quicker you get in front of groups and they start screening you and giving you feedback, the quicker you're going to find out whether, A, is it viable? Is it even a viable product? Are people going to invest in this? Kind of like Shark Tank. I love that show because they're brutal and it's all done for you know, TV. But they're like, nobody's going to buy this. And the entrepreneur might go away and think, wow, I've just been shot down. But is it better to be shot down in the beginning when you're starting and work on something, or have, and most groups don't do that, by the way. We're very friendly, and we say, we would never say that. We'd say, look, here's why we think it, what you might change to make it more effective. So we call ourselves the dolphin tank. You want to get that feedback so you guys can be prepared just to make that right decision and make those pivots before you come and ask for real money. So I think people are shy, and the biggest hurdle I see is they all think that their thing is this top secret, can't let anybody know about it, someone's going to steal it. Nobody's going to steal it in an angel group. They're just not. That's not who we are. That's not what most angels are there to help the entrepreneur. Now, if they tell you there's three other companies doing the exact same thing, it's probably a good idea to listen and research it and make sure that there's not three other companies doing the same thing that have more money than you to get it to market.
Absolutely.
You know, no entrepreneur wants to hear that, right? They all think that it's all very special, and it is to them. And that's probably one of the worst parts of my job, is I don't like to break people's hearts or dash their dreams, but I ask them the question in the end, would you rather I told you this now or 2 years down the road when your house is in debt and, you know, your friends and family have given you everything to try to make this dream a reality? Or would you rather hear it now? So that's my advice, is get it out there. Get it out there and get it heard so that people give you, and your friends and family are always going to tell you it's amazing. So get outside feedback if you can.
Absolutely. So you need somebody like you who will tell them the cold, hard truth before they get too far into it, and that can save them a lot of heartache, a lot of money, a lot of stress, a lot of everything.
Yes, yes. And most entrepreneurs are like, God, I wish I'd known about you a year ago. You know, that's the truth.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's you know, and you got to understand as an entrepreneur, too, that we're not here to harm or cause any trouble. You know, we're not here to harm you. We want you to be successful. But we're also going to tell you the truth because we watch this day in and day out. We look at over 100 deals, just my group. We look at over 100 deals a month to find 7 that we feel it can present to a deal screening, to find the 4 that can come to the forum. But at least you can be seen, and you can be have the committees look at you, and you can have all those pre-processes looked at before you go to the actual forum and are ready. And just take the advice. And the number one thing I look for in a CEO is, are you coachable? Do you take the information from people who know what they're doing and at least come back with a proposal that says, I don't agree with you and here's why? That's fine. Or, yes, I like what you said and here's what we're going to do about it. So it's not saying you have to yield and do exactly what we asked, but you have to have some logic for what you're doing and why. And we don't have to agree.
Right. What kind of advice would you have for somebody to help them to become more coachable?
Listen. Just listen. Take the feedback. Mull it around and see if it makes sense to you. Not all feedback is good feedback. You know, we all have our opinions. If I could tell the entrepreneurs that when we do a deal screening and then we go around the room, there's three categories. There's allow the company to come to the forum. There's a delay, meaning there's something they have to do to fix before we'll see them again. Or there's a deny, meaning we don't want anything to do with this company. And in a room of 40 people, you will get allow, delay, deny, allow, deny. You know, so it's a not everybody agrees with what is good and what is bad, too. That's why you want to get in front of more people. So don't just go to one angel investor and say, how's this? Because they might love it. And you go to the next 10 and they're like, yeah, no. So.
Excellent.
Did I answer your question?
Yes. Yes, you did. I think the key word is that you said is listen, to be willing to listen. And that's where being coachable really begins.
Right. And again, don't just be steamrolled. Just listen. And then again, if you totally in your heart disagree, have a reason and have an answer, but don't be too stuck on your own product that you don't listen to the experts. Because most of these investors have been investing, an average investor invests in 5 deals a year. So they know and they've seen their money go out the window many, many times. So the average individual will invest in 5 companies a year.
Mm-hmm.
So they know. They have some experience and some. We joke that the reason the members are members of Keritsu, we can save them from a bad deal. That's just as important as getting them a good deal. If I can save them from being burned by a bad deal, that's worth something to them.
Absolutely. Well, fabulous. That was a lot of great information, and I can see how your company does some great things. And really, I love the process that you take businesses through and helping them to get started and maybe more importantly, helping them to make sure they're on the right path so that they don't make a lot of mistakes that many businesses do make.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.